Nope. Seen it. Oh, nah.
Can't find something to watch? Introducing Sky Stream. It's Sky without the dish. Watch unmissable Sky exclusives like The Regime and Netflix too, all over super reliable Sky full fibre broadband. Get Sky Stream, Sky Broadband and Netflix for just €50 a month. Search Sky Stream. Availability subject location. New customers only. 12-month minimum term. Stream and broadband sold separately. Further terms apply. For more info, see sky.ie/speeds.
Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull. That's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
O'Driscoll, Forgan, extra man is Fitzgerald. Oh, Fitzgerald is cutting back inside! Leinster have another! Darcy, O'Driscoll through the legs. Rob Carney out to Fitzgerald again. Step and score!
The Six Nations finale is upon us, and Ireland have named their team to face Scotland this Saturday at the Aviva Stadium. Will Slattery here, delighted to have Luke Fitzgerald and Rory O'Connor with me as we pick through all the selection talking points. Andy Farrell has made three changes to his team. Ian Henderson comes in place of the injured James Ryan. Andrew Conway also misses out with a knee injury. Mac Hanson back in the starting team, and Jack Conan is promoted after his impressive cameo off the bench against England last Saturday. Rory, are you happy with the team Andy Farrell has gone with for this big game?
Yeah, largely. I think there was a case to be made for Robbie Henshaw to come in instead of Bundy Aki. But, you know, while Aki wasn't, you know, brilliant at Twickenham, he certainly didn't do much wrong. I mean, Henshaw had a brilliant 15 minutes. But sometimes I think you can play too well off the bench and get yourself put back there the following week because, you know, you're there for impact. And he will have a role to play. Henderson, you know, I know he gave away three really bad penalties and you know, didn't play very well in Twickenham last weekend. But he is, you know, a very good player who we know Ireland can rely on, and you would expect after the mistakes he made last week, he will improve. Conan for O'Mahony, to me, makes an awful lot of sense. I didn't think O'Mahony played particularly well. Just wasn't very prominent in Twickenham last weekend. He was Ireland's top tackler, but he really didn't feel he influenced the game. And obviously Conan's come on and scored his try, but I prefer the balance of that all Leinster back row with Conan, Van der Fleer and Doris at six. I know it maybe takes away from Doris's game a little bit, moving him to six, but I was just listening to Alex Corbusier on your show on Monday or Tuesday, whatever it was. I mean, the fact that he said Conan's a better scrummager and that Ireland's scrum is tighter, that's, you know, we don't really think of number eights in that way. But if that's the case, you know, that's really important this weekend. And yeah, Hanson, you know, like, Conway would have started if he was fit, I think. But if he's got a knee injury, you're not losing an awful lot. I mean, I think we all expected to see Robert Balakoon at some stage during this tournament, but none of the wingers have let Ireland down. And Hanson has played very well. So it's a pretty exciting backline. Very powerful pack. Big questions about the scrum, but, you know, he's probably right to stick with it for one more week and see if they can right the wrongs and whether it was a refereeing disaster. Give them a chance to go up against a very good Scottish front row and compete. So, no, I have no complaints. You know, I think a lot of it makes sense. And, you know, there's title on the line. There wasn't room really for much experimentation.
Yeah, it's funny the point you make about Jack Conan and what Alex Corbusier was saying about the scrummaging. Then you just think of Jack Noel and like, you know, the contribution he was making to a scrum that was extremely dominant at Twickenham. Yeah, look, it's a funny one. Like, as Rudd mentioned there, like, the title is on the line, even though when I was looking at the team sheet, I was thinking more of the, you know, oh, it's a shot to nothing, a bit of experimentation. But you need to get the job done first and foremost in case there is a slip-up later in the day.
100%. I mean, I think it's not... certainly not beyond the realms of possibility to see England go to Paris and get a win. I think, you know, aside from ourselves, I think they're probably the most capable of going ahead and doing that. So, look, yeah, he did have to go ahead and pick this team. Plus, I think Scotland are a pretty scrappy outfit, to be honest with you. I think they're difficult to beat. They're difficult to beat by a wide margin. And I think Ireland should be looking to beat them by a wide margin. I think they're a better team than them, but they can make life difficult for you, and they have got some very good finishers. So I think, you know, this is a team that can squeeze the life out of this Scotland outfit, and I think they can pick them apart as well. You know, Rudd's pretty much, you know, has really given a very comprehensive view on the team.
Didn't he get anything for you?
I was going to say, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. No, but I agree with everything there. You know, what was interesting is, maybe one area I will touch on that Rhodes didn't get time to go into was the replacements. I thought they had a brilliant impact on the game last weekend. And, you know, probably seems like a fairly obvious statement, but they really did, seeing as we only won it really in the last 8 minutes of the game. They had a massive impact, and I was really pleased for lots of them. You know, I'm interested to see Treadwell there on the bench. I think he's a guy who I've kind of admired for a while. International could be a big step up for him, but we wait and see in that. The two lads there are, you know, are well capable of going for 80 minutes, so he may not get an opportunity. But, you know, you would like to see someone like him get blooded in, because I'm a little bit worried about James Ryan. You know, I think he could be facing quite a, you know, a significant period of time, you know, on the sidelines. I think they need to be very cautious with him now, because you want him back for the World Cup, so you don't want to rush him back. And look, everyone else, I thought Murray was brilliant last weekend when he came on. I mean, it was funny, we've kind of probably talked about that, him not being an impact kind of player, because, you know, can he really speed up the game? I actually thought he did that really well, but I don't know, it was really reassuring, I thought, to see him come on at that period where Ireland were kind of under the cosh. And I thought he was a big reason why we turned it around. He had some excellent kicks. I thought he did keep the, you know, when it was right to play quick, you know, he got that right. He got the ball out, didn't overthink things. And I was really pleased for him. I mean, you know, must be tough watching, you know, he's been, you know, a real mainstay in this Ireland team for so long. Watching Gibson Park play so well and kind of usurp him, you know, probably a year and a bit out from the World Cup. You know, he's a lot of hard work to go to try and wrestle that jersey back. So bench could be key again. Thought they were brilliant last week. And yeah, very nice summation from Rhodes. I think that back row, to my mind, it's just a little bit more attacking, I think, than having O'Mahony there. O'Mahony seems like a more... trying to manage the opposition. You know, you're thinking line out, you're thinking maybe on the ground, he's probably maybe slightly better than Doris, but, you know, the rest of the game, you know, Doris is definitely a top of the ground kind of player in terms of, like, he's very, very abrasive. He's an excellent ball carrying, does have an edge in that part. So I think given this Scotland back row, you know, you do want to have a few big ball carriers to put pressure on them and get over the game line, because they do have some great fetchers in there.
Yeah, Rudd, just to bring you on the Conor Murray point that Luke was making, because it has been something that's been talked about quite a lot. You know, is Conor Murray kind of a guy who's good at the game plan Ireland used to be very good at and want to play? And is he a guy the way Andy Farrell wants to play? That could be a very key performance in his own career and his late career trajectory. You know, if you're looking towards the World Cup, we were just chatting even ourselves off air last week, you know, about some of the senior players that Andy Farrell is still leaning on. And we were questioning whether or not they deserved still to be there. That could be a big moment for him last week.
Yeah, it's interesting because the bench, you pick your bench, but you've no idea what scenario you're going to be in when they come onto the pitch. And at 15-all, Conor Murray was the perfect man for the job. If Ireland were 10 points down, then you probably prefer to have Craig Casey. You know, like, you pick your bench and you've no idea what scenario you're going to be in at that point. But I agree, you know, I've been one person who's raised questions over Conor Murray. But after Saturday, you have to say that he played really, really well and added something to what Ireland did. He brought calm to proceedings. And, you know, he may be nearly 100 cap international, but everyone's got their own ego and self-confidence and stuff. And he maybe needed a day like that where he came on and played a major role just to remind himself of what he is and what he's able to do. And like that pass, you know, he didn't slow it down for Jack Conlon's try. You know, that pass was perfect at that time. There was one that dropped off, but, like, we'll allow him one, you know. He's, you know, that was big for him. And he probably felt like he was in a shout this week for playing. But the way Ireland play, Gibson Park is just perfect. The way he, you know, he zips it around. But to have a 90-something cap, international of such experience to come in that scenario, alongside his halfback partner from his province as well, that kind of makes sense from a combinations point of view. It works. But he needs to do that every time. And when the time comes where Ireland are trailing by 10 points, he needs to be able to do that as well. You kind of need him to be the full package. And at the moment, I think he's very good for managing games. I fear for Ireland if they're in a World Cup quarterfinal or 10, 15 points down. And I mean, they're in trouble anyway. But, you know, you want someone to come on and change the game. He's more of a manager. So if Ireland are front-running, which the game plan allows them to front-run an awful lot, or they're in the kind of that 50-50 point where it's level, he's really good. If they're coming from behind, I'd have a bit of concern. But you can't, again, Andy Farrell doesn't know what scenario he's going to be in. So it's interesting.
Well, I was going to say, theoretically, if they had been 10 points down, they would have won by 7. Because that's what I was impressed, because I thought he sped it up. I thought it was the kind of the way he played actually would have lended itself to chasing a game. I was impressed with his quick service as well. It wasn't just his kind of leadership or sense of calm. It was actually, for once, I thought, not for once, but maybe for the first time in a while, I just thought his service kind of matched Gibson Parks at the breakdown. Maybe I'm overstating it.
Perhaps. I need to probably go back and watch it again. But yeah, I don't know. Ireland just got themselves into a mess. Like, Gibson Park probably hadn't thrown a pass for a while at that point. You know, like the box kick was working. England had just taken over, and Murray, you know, helped rest control back. So yeah, it's a fair point. I'm underestimating that element of it. But he and Henshaw and Conan in particular, and Rob Herring, I thought was really excellent, and I've been critical of him here. They helped rest control that game back, and they played a major role. And, you know, those who weren't in the starting team this week are probably a little bit unlucky because the role they played.
Yeah, Luke, is there one player in particular you look at that team sheet and you're thinking, you know, the finale of the Six Nations, this guy needs a big game, whether for his Ireland credentials or for later on in the season going back to big club games? Is there anyone in particular you think could do with a big game?
I think Keane Healy probably is a guy who, like, everyone's kind of saying, oh, and look, of course, he's had some fairly serious injuries. I was actually talking to Andrew Porter last Friday before the match. I was doing something with him, and he was saying he's still in unbelievably good shape. And I'd say he's probably suffering a little bit from, sort of stiff enough competition in Leinster. Like, he kind of shares the games behind Porter with, you know, Dooley, with Byrne. Like, you know, there's some really good players there that need game time as well. So I think he just looked like a guy maybe who hasn't played a massive amount of rugby. And I think we could be discounting him just a little bit too early based on the miles on the clock. I think he's still an unbelievable athlete. And he looked like a guy who hadn't played much rugby to me. I still think he is very capable of putting in a big performance. And I'm expecting him to bounce back this weekend, actually. So I hope I'm right on that one. I think he needs a big game, and he's I believe he's still, a brilliant rugby player, just probably behind an even better one in Andrew Porter currently, you know. So expecting a big bounce back one from him. I think Sheehan, you know, I'd love to see the scrum go well this week. I think it sounds like this Scottish scrum is actually pretty good. I just don't know. I wish I knew more about it. I wish we had Corbusiero on again, to be honest with you. But I believe this Scottish scrum is quite good. Not a massive amount of weight in the kind of back three, bar Fagerson really, but apparently very, very good and good operator. So I'd like to see them bounce back. From listening to Corbusiero, he thought Sheehan was a guy who was probably one of the key battles that they lost at scrum time against Jamie George. So bounce back there would be nice. And I think I'd like to see Mac Hansen have a big game. I think he would have been hurting after that, after not getting in behind James Lowe. So I'd like to see a bit of a bounce back. Look, I got your point about Balakoon, and he looks like he's on fire at the moment and so quick. Like, we just don't have many people with that kind of top end pace. But I'd like to see Hansen go well. I think he's like himself and Lowe could form a really, really nice partnership. I think Conway probably maybe a nose ahead of him currently, but Mac Hansen is definitely a coming force, and this new game plan really suits someone like him. He's a lovely ball handler. He pops up around the pitch. He likes to be involved. If the Irish pack, you know, get on top of the Scotland pack, which I think they can do, we could see the best of him and Lowe. So there are probably three names I'd pick out for a big one this weekend.
Yeah, and Rod, it's worth touching on the Scotland team. Obviously, the big news is Finn Russell being dropped to the bench. They've gone with Blair Kinghorn on out half. You know, I think most people will be familiar with him playing in the back three for Edinburgh and Scotland over the last couple of years. So it's a pretty big gamble for Gregor Townsend. You know, what do you make of the decision? Like, Finn Russell, even though they beat England in the first game and there was a lot of fanfare, he wasn't brilliant, and he hasn't had a brilliant tournament either.
No, and Racing haven't had a great year either. You know, maybe it's a Lions hangover. You know, those players who go on Lions tours often come back and struggle the following season. I'm a big fan of Finn Russell. I love watching him play. So it's disappointing to me that he won't be there. Like, Gregor Townsend's putting a lot of faith in or a lot of stock in what Blair Kinghorn did against Connacht a couple of weeks ago in the URC match, you know, in the middle of the Six Nations. You know, I wonder about anyone getting to international level when they've played, you know, in at 10, when you've played most of your rugby as a professional in the back three. It just shows that, you know, with two professional teams, Scotland are always going to be struggling to some degree. And they have Adam Hastings in that squad as well. And, you know, he's a very good player, and he's obviously, he's moved out of the Scottish system, and they seem to have you know, he's paid the price a little bit for that. But he's a very, you know, to me, he's a very good 10. Look, we'll see on Saturday. Kinghorn is accomplished, but is he an international 10 for a game like this, having not really played there throughout the Six Nations? I find that hard to believe. I find it hard that he's going to come over, hard to believe that he's going to come over to Dublin against a team going for a triple crown and a potential title in form, and is going to be able to dictate the play up against Johnny Sexton when he's, you know, I'd say 80, maybe, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think 80-90% of his rugby at professional level has been played at fullback. That's difficult to understand how he could go. Like, if he was that good and you're in control of your two regions, surely you get Edinburgh to play him there more often, you know? Like, I know he has played a bit there this season, but really, it just seems like a stretch to me. So, yeah, it's obviously it's a reflection on Russell's form, and, you know, I think that failure to track back against France got a lot of social media traction, but, like, you know, work rate is really important at this level, and he isn't having a great season. And he doesn't generally play very well against Ireland either, so...
It's a basic, though, isn't it? Like, I just hate seeing that. Like, that's my mind. Like, just keep running. Like, you know, I don't know. I feel like things aren't going well. You can always rely on good players, I think, to do that. I don't know. Like, as much as I like Russ, like, really nice guy and all that, I feel really bad saying it, but I do think he's overrated. I think he's against a good team, you can squeeze him out of a game, and I think he'll always let you down against a team that's on the ball against him. You know, I think he just doesn't get the job done for me. And I agree with the point on Kinghorn. I was lucky enough to be over in Edinburgh to watch it was tough watching from an Irish perspective, but I watched that Edinburgh and Connacht game over there. Like, he's a special talent. There's no doubt about that. Apparently he's the quickest guy in the Scottish squad, period. Like, he is so quick. He's a huge man as well. I'd say he's about 6'3", 6'4". Like, he's a big guy, lovely ball handler. Like, he does pose a threat, but to Rudd's point, can he control an international rugby match? I don't know. Like, that Connacht pretty much, like, it was hard to watch actually at the end. I mean, they ran out the gate at the end. It was pretty embarrassing for them. And he looked like a superhero, but I think that was more to do with Connacht maybe having a 6-day turnaround and Edinburgh kind of catching fire. This is a big ask in my mind. The one thing I would say is that if they can get him a few one-on-ones with Johnny, like, he's an unbelievable athlete. Like, he could punish you in there if you don't respect him. But once I think you do that, I still don't think he's, like, he's got the ball playing ability or the, like, even as much as I'm not an unbelievably massive, I don't drink the Kool-Aid on Finn Russell, to be honest with you. But I do think that he can pick apart a defense, and he does have some guile, and can, you know, he can open you up. I'm not so sure Kinghorn has that yet, because as Rudd said, he's played the vast majority of his rugby in the back three. Like, it takes a long time to feel that heat of an international defense. It's so claustrophobic. I've been in that slot, like, never, you know, but I've played in the centers there, so I know what it feels like against a really good defense. And this Irish team is a pretty good defense. It feels like you've got, like, zero time on the ball to make a decision. You're literally playing the first thing you see. And I feel like that could be what his day looks like, unless the Scottish pack get on top of the Irish pack, which I just can't see happening.
Just before we get predictions, Rudd, like, can you make any case for Scotland? Because just, like, listening to the two of you guys here and just my own opinion before the show, I think it's going to be a very comprehensive Ireland win. Like, is there any case you can make or any kind of thing you're looking at being like, this could be an area where they get on top, or this could be a reason why they produce an upset?
I think I'd be surprised if it happened, but looking at the names on the team sheet, that's a good team. That's a good Scottish team who have the capacity to secure one-off results on a reasonably regular basis over the last couple of years without ever being able to back it up. They always flatter to deceive. They beat England in the opening game. I think they've won away against Wales, France and England in the last 2 or 3 years. And they have a scrum that could trouble Ireland. I really rate Pierre Skomann. I really do. I think he's a fantastic prop. And, you know, getting him in from South Africa and getting him qualified has been pretty important to that team. They've a decent front row bench as well that can come in and do damage. And you've got to remember that Ireland are coming off the back of a disastrous day at the scrum, where I believe if they played against 15 men, they probably would have lost the game. So, yes, I think there is a case we made for Scotland to win it, but it will be an upset at the same time. Like, Ireland are playing unbelievable rugby. Their attack is the best in the tournament. You know, I think it's probably even better than France's. They're at home, where they very rarely lose. Scotland's record in Dublin is appalling. They despite a couple of injuries, they still have the majority of you know, they have a very good pack, they have a very good back line, they have Sexton pulling the strings, looking on top of his game, and they just beaten England and Twickenham. So I think Ireland are very much the favourites to win this game. But this Scottish team, with nothing to lose, with no pressure on them, is where they're most dangerous. And they will pose some threats. And they've caused Ireland problems in the last couple of years. Like, Ireland were very lucky to get out of Murrayfield with a win last year. So I wouldn't say it's beyond the realms. That's a decent Scottish team, just out of form. And like they seem to have lost their defensive edge as well, which against this Ireland attack is a bit of a disaster. Like there was, you know, Steve Tandy was being hailed as a hero this time last year, and they've just fallen apart in that regard. They've conceded an awful lot of tries, whereas Ireland have only conceded 3 this season.
And I think their last win away from home against someone other than Italy in the Six Nations with fans present was in Croke Park in 2010, if I'm not mistaken. I think all those other victories came during COVID when, you know, we know how much of a difference that makes when there's no supporters there.
They're a team that can trouble you. Like, if they take they seem to be, they can't get over the hump. Like, they create opportunities. If you think back on France, like, they just can't seem to take those critical opportunities. They're a team that make bad defensive mistakes. Like, they I don't know how many times we've watched them. Like, they basically have a Scottish defender putting the opposition guy into touch, and then two other Scottish guys then run over and try to, like, help out. But it's already over. And there's an offload over the top of them. It's like watching under sixes at times. But if they get those kind of things right, and they actually, where they could cause issues for Ireland is on the deck. And if Ireland, like, yes, Ireland's attack shape is definitely the best in the competition, I think, at the moment. I think that's a fair comment. They still haven't fired that well for long periods of the game. Their ball, like, they made 19 handling errors in Twickenham. Like, that's a massive amount. And if they're not scrumming well, like, there are things you could say. So if they can cause some trouble on the ground, if Ireland have as many handling errors as they have in the last couple of games, you know, they'll have loads of scrums. That could be a disaster for Ireland too. And they have some pace out the back. Like, Darcy Graham is trouble. Stuart Hogg is always very difficult to contain. As I said, Kinghorn, you know, he might be in open space at the back a lot. You do find your 10 there a bit. Like, they have threats. You just think on balance and on the balance of probabilities, you know, Ireland just should have too much and should be able to squeeze them out. But, you know, they're the things that Ireland need to fix pretty quick. The handling errors have been consistent throughout the competition. Need to get that sorted out. You know, because Scotland can punish you, you know.
Okay, just to finish up, 2 predictions from each of you. I'll go to you, Rudd, first. Prediction for the Ireland-Scotland game, and then the overall prediction of who is going to be the Six Nations champion come Saturday night.
I think Ireland will beat Scotland by between 7 and 10 points. Like, I don't think they'll run riot. I think there's just too much at stake for them. Like, you know, you got to remember as well as the scrum last weekend, they lost their composure a lot in Twickenham. And while they'll have a home crowd this week, like, a lot of these players haven't won silverware for Ireland, and it might just be a triple crown, but I think they've bigged it up internally. And obviously the title's on the line. They'll get there in the end. They may open up, but I don't know. I think Scotland are most dangerous when they've absolutely nothing to play for, because the pressure's off. I think England can trouble France. I think they have the weaponry to do so, and I think they'll make it difficult. And this French team are tightening up more and more as it goes on. But with the slam on the line, it almost feels like destiny for this French team, and I think they'll probably get it done. I can't wait to watch that game after the game in Dublin. I think France, they're just too good for this English team. England just don't have the weaponry to hurt them. Like, I think they can cause them problems up front, and defensively they can possibly stifle them. But where are the tries coming from? Hard to see. So I think it's a triple crown for Ireland and a championship for France.
Yeah, I think Ireland will win by around 15. I think France will just about get over the line. I think it'll be close though. Luke, what do you think?
I think Ireland win by, I think maybe 20. I think they beat them well. Big day out in Croker. I think they sort out they sorted out the rooking against England. The handling errors hung around. I think they get that right this week. I think Scotland's defence will give you opportunities. I don't think it's as stingy. I think England win. I think England win, but with sorry, do I need a scoreline for the game or no?
No.
Ireland by 20, and I think England win. Obviously, very tight. I think they, again, I agree with Rudd's. They are really struggling, from an attack perspective. But I think they stifle them defensively, and I think France give away a load of penalties, and they kick them all. And they win by, again, within 5, tight one, but they disappoint everyone in Paris. That's my prediction.
Now that is a great note to finish on a sunny St. Patrick's Day. I'd like to thank Luke and Rod for joining me today. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with another show reviewing all the weekend's action. In the meantime, you can subscribe to The Left Wing on iTunes, Spotify, or listen on independent.ie. So until next time, thanks for listening and goodbye.